What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Hey, welcome to Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. Go follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan SCS. On today's episode, the good news is that the feast part of the Astros feast or famine offense still exists. The bad news is that the famine side is currently winning out. An MLB insider says that there are execs keeping their eye on Houston as potential sellers at the deadline. We'll explore that. I'll also ask the guys how make or break this part of the schedule is for the hometown team. Charlie and Josh, welcome in. So the tough stretch for Houston just continues. They drop 2 of 3 to Cincinnati on the road. Another member of the pitching staff hits the IL. This is a return trip for Bennett Sousa. I know we're all shocked. What did you guys see in that series?
Anti-meatloaf. Losing 2 out of 3 ain't good. And on its face, dropping 2 out of 3 on the road, no big deal. But the Reds had lost 7 in a row going into the series, and then the Astros paced them on Friday night, a chance to win back-to-back road series. You can go back to the series victory in Boston. And then Saturday and Sunday, the Astros offense goes to sleep. And while I'm all for reasonable optimism, Joe Espada needs to be careful about saying stuff that's just silly after the game Sunday, talking about, hey, this is a really good offense. No, it's not. It's a really good offense once in a while. No offense, unless teaming with all-stars in the top two-thirds, is good when you're riding Nick Allen and Cesar Salazar in the 8-9 spot. But it's worse than that. Altuve continues to be a stink bomb, whether he's at the top, the 3 spot, the 5 spot. And Cam Smith belongs in the minor leagues. Hey, the ball he fluffed in the outfield Saturday, unfortunately, once or twice a season, that can happen to the best of outfielders. And Cam Smith plays a hell of a right field. In the batter's box, he plays a hell of a right field. He's routinely overmatched. His at-bats largely suck. He would be or should be in the minor leagues if the Astros had anything worth calling up. But with the sad sinkhole that is their AAA roster, hey, Daniel Johnson's back on the team because no one claimed him after the Astros DFA'd him. Joey Loperfido ever gets healthy, if Cam Smith doesn't improve, he needs to go down to the minor leagues to work on some things. Christian Walker goes 0 for Cincinnati. The little cowboy hat in the dugout, they needed to convert that to a golden sombrero for Yordan in the game on Sunday. But this is what bad teams do. You know, when you hit, you don't pitch. When you don't hit, you pitch. Arrigetti, another very solid outing on Saturday. Tang, the fill-in that he started well. Well, so what? You give up 3 runs in 1 inning, and you go 3-plus, giving up 3 runs. That's not good. So the rotation remains patchwork. But hey, Mike Burrows was fantastic on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, the starting pitching is improving. Right. You actually have some guys. Lambert's kind of been a pleasant surprise, and Arrigetti's been good, and Burrows he's been pretty solid. The ERA's coming down now. So that's kind of the optimism, but that's about all I got for you. You mentioned Cam Smith over the last 30 days hitting 191. I was just kind of curious to get a smaller sample size, look over the last 30 days. They still have the second to last in ERA at 5.18. So even that smaller sample size, the pitching is still not there. They're tied with the Reds for the most walks with 130. The walks, every time we get together and talk, the walks just kill them. Now, they'll have a game or two where it improves, but overall, they're really struggling. Those guys come home to score. I think the big thing, too, is just they're not driving guys in when they have opportunities, because when I look over the last 30 days, 12th in OPS. So you think, hey, that's not bad. But then you look and run scored, they're 22nd. So you say this is a great offense. Great offense isn't 22nd in run scored over the last 30 days. So they're in some serious trouble here. They just stack up series losses just over and over and over again. At some point, they're going to run out of time.
They never come from behind in the late innings or rarely even spark a threat. Right? A 3-1 loss in a game that's 3-0 until the bullpen lets the Reds pad the lead. You know, the Astros are 0-21 or 0-22. Don't worry about that. They haven't won a game when they're behind after 8. Hardly any teams win games when they're behind after 8. But when the Astros are behind after 6, you know, you still have 3 turns at bat. They have yet to come back and win one of those games this season. But to further home in on Cam Smith, the last 21 games, he's 10 for 71. That's a 141 batting average. 71 at-bats, 1 double, 1 home run, 27 strikeouts over 21 games. That's a more than 200 strikeouts for the season type of pace. And I'm not going to just castigate Espada for having Smith in the 5 spot in the lineup both Saturday and Sunday when you look at the alternatives, but don't turn around and tell me this is a really good offense. Well, yeah, if I guess Peña or Correa, one of them was in at shortstop and really performing, and this was not 2026, and Jose Altuve wasn't a bad player, which he is right now and has been for a while. Altuve's last 15 games, he's 10 for 60, 167 batting average, 440 OPS. Over those 15 games, Altuve has walked twice. He has not stolen a base, but I think he's been picked off like 13 times. For the season, Altuve, the OPS now down to 702. Joe Espada, stop telling us this is a really good offense. It isn't.
No, I mean, and I don't know what anyone expected when you look at the lineup card, and it's Smith, Matthews, Cole, DeZenzo, Allen, and Salazar. I think the score that we got's pretty predictable outside, save for maybe Yordan running into one, or maybe even Cole running into one. But then going to the pitching side of it, just how many times have you seen other teams that are struggling? You mentioned the Reds in this instance, get well against Houston. Looking at pitchers with an ERA under 4 on this team, it's Hunter Brown on the IL, Spencer Arrigetti, Kaiwei Tang, Brian King, Pete Lambert, and Logan Van Wy, who's just got to the team, so give him some time. You know, and Kaiwei Tang was good till he wasn't. I saw a lot of people screaming about Espada leaving him in too long. It's unfortunate that a 3-run inning is now a death knell for this team, but in this series, it certainly was. I want to get more into this, specifically about Smith, because you brought up Smith. But before we do, Charlie, give us a word for Fidelity One Mortgage.
I shall. Probably 150, 200 words, actually. Greg Sheena has co-owned Fidelity One Mortgage for 36 years, originating loans all over Texas, both homesteads and investment properties. As we creep towards summer, temperatures sure did over the weekend. That means competition for purchasing a home picks up. For the rest of May, purchase transactions, Fidelity One has a rate buster program. A quickie savings can be thousands of dollars. You get 1% off market rate your first year. Meaning if market rate's 6.5%, first year you pay 5.5%. 6.25%, you get 5.25%, etc. Improve your chances of an accepted offer by securing pre-approval. And even with Fidelity One Mortgage providing pre-approval, you're still free to shop around after the contract is accepted, but you'll find that Fidelity One Mortgage is right there when it comes to rates. And with the discount program, hey, whether you're buying, refinancing, or tapping into home equity, Fidelity One Mortgage will get it done with you. They'll help you qualify, apply, and be approved. Mention me to Greg and get a further $600 credit at closing for the appraisal. Call Greg, 713-952-9276, 952-9276, Fidelity One Mortgage, legalese, NMLS 311-100.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
So you brought up Cam Smith, Charlie, and he is an absolute lightning rod of a topic amongst fans. And a big part of it is that he will forever be tied into the Kyle Tucker trade. You know, you talked about how just lost he's looked at the plate at times. Defensively, he's taken well to right field. I just wanted to get you guys your temperature on this. Has Dana Brown screwed up? Or I shouldn't put it on Dana, but it's a necessity of the organization. Has the organization messed with Cam Smith's development here in a way that's maybe irreparable or some sort of arrested development with him as a player, considering the fact they rushed him to the bigs because they had to?
By no means is he a lost cause. We're talking about a guy who's just 23 years old, but at some point you have to react to sustained failure. Was he rushed? Maybe somewhat by necessity. He had the great spring training. Well, we know the caliber of pitching you face in spring training. They're largely meaningless results unless you make roster decisions based upon them. The Astros did due to lack of quality alternatives. And Cam Smith did not start woefully last year. The power, I mean, he went 2 months without a home run when he was actually hitting for a halfway decent average, taking a walk here or there. One of the telecasts over the weekend, I mean, when it's going crappily, you're going to grasp at any straw where you can. So there was some gushing over Cam Smith's bat speed is in the 98th percentile or whatever it is. Who cares what your freaking bat speed is if you can't hit the ball? His chase rate is bad. His whiff rate is atrocious. His exit velocity is actually not that good. He struggles to pull the ball. He struggles to get the ball in the air. Now, he's still kind of a fresh lump of clay in need of molding. Craig Biggio's first couple of months in the major leagues, he stunk. Lance Berkman's first couple of months in the major leagues, he was no good. So that you're supposed to explode on the scene and be this meteor that shoots through and doesn't just disappear, but just shines brightly for the next 15 years, the game's hard. But how long are you going to let a guy wail and flail and fail before you say, okay, get back in the pot. You need to do a little more seasoning. Remember, the last 55 games of last season, right, it's more than a third of the schedule, Cam Smith hit 149. So it's not like, oh, he's in this recent funk. Where did this come from? We're 40-plus games into this season plus 55 games of last season. Cam Smith's a horrible offensive player. You're just going to keep running him out there day after day after day after day after day after day and routinely hitting fifth on top of it.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting. Dana said before the season started, he talked about, oh, he's going to have to earn his way onto this roster. And okay, fine. But is there a way to earn your way off the roster if you keep playing this poorly? It has to be something they think about. Of course, with Cole getting hurt early in the year, I think that had something to do with it. But I think Cam was making the team no matter what. But yeah, you wonder if there's kind of two sides, right? You could say, hey, go down to the minors. You need more development. But you could also say, well, all the best hitting coaches and the best staff is on the big league level. So you could kind of argue, is he better off with better instructors and a better environment? But obviously, the proof's in the pudding, and he's not producing, guys. So they're in a tricky spot with him. And Charlie, you're right. I don't know where they go from here, because this goes back to last year. This isn't just a new thing happening with Cam Smith.
Not to be unduly depressing, but this also ties into the farm system being a fetid wasteland. Now, teams, even with really good organizations, they don't have all young whiz kid prospects at AAA. But generally, there's something. Sugarland's starting lineup Sunday. The ages of the players in their batting order. 29, 30, 28, 29, 35, 26, 31, 26, and 29. Not one player 25 years of age or younger, and the only guys younger than 28, their career minor league batting averages are 230 and 220. Oh, well, maybe they had someone who's a prospect who got Sunday off. The three players on the bench, 23, their third string catcher for Sugarland, 30 and 27. They have nothing at AAA. I mean, Loper Fido's closing in on 27 when he gets healthy and gets back. But if he were there right now, I would call him up, send Cam Smith down for a couple weeks.
The Sanchez trade looks even worse now, too, with how poorly Cam Smith is playing. It's not like he's lighting the world on fire, but he's not just a complete disaster.
To go back and answer your question, Josh, yes, there is a way to earn your way off of this roster, and that's to get hurt. Now, Charlie, getting back to your point about the barren farm system, obviously a big mechanism of losing is you start looking at what's this team going to be doing at the trade deadline. And that was what Bob Nightingale brought up in his latest column. As we approach the quarter mark of the season, he surveyed different club execs and scouts and came up with five teams to watch ahead of the trade deadline. The teams that he listed were the Mets, Tigers, Giants, Diamondbacks, and not surprisingly, the Astros. Nightingale points to Walker, Paredes, Hader, and Pena as chips with potential value alongside Yordan as well. But I think that seems much less likely, even though he did talk about the absolute king's ransom this team could extract for Yordan should they go that direction. But that's the should part is kind of where I'm interested in talking with you guys, is because we've heard from Jim Crane of how this team, as long as he's the owner, the window will always be open. But obviously there's some realities that this team is facing right now and how they evaluate the steps they're going to take in the future. So I wonder, do you think Jim Crane, who is super competitive and wants to win, do you think he has the stomach to do a deeper retool and start really looking at rebuilding the system, not just swapping out pieces and kicking the can down the road, but really doing some meaningful changes under the hood for this organization?
Problem one with the idea, and I know there's the group that's out there, hey, back to the future, get Luno out of soccer, bring him back, do what they did in the early 2010s. You can't do that. They had, what, the first pick a couple of times, the second and fifth picks in the same draft. I mean, the Astros are no good, but are they the very worst team in baseball? And oh, by the way, year after year now, the way they've reworked the lottery, you can't pick in the top three years in a row. And by the way, that's the presumption that you would hit on the picks the way they did to a good extent with Correa and then Bregman and Kyle Tucker. So that can't be the plan, a total teardown. And I also think that Jim Crane is apt to look at it. Dana Brown's probably apt to sell it as, yeah, it's been a rugged start, but look at the whole American League. Barely 500 leads the West. Ditto in the Central. We're only 5.5 games out starting this week. Well, it also means you're on pace to finish more than 20 games out. I'm sure they'd love to trim some payroll, and Bob Nightingale's a very wired guy. Tell me who's in a rush to acquire the $50 million left on Josh Hader's contract for the rest of this and the next two seasons.
Bingo. And then you look at the trades they have done. I mean, Dana's getting killed for the Dubon trade. On those Twitter streets, man, you don't want to be Dana Brown right now. And then now you're looking at the Kyle Tucker trade and looking at Cam Smith and going like, is this the guy you want and pulling the trigger on a big trade like that? And I talked about this on my show the other day. Dana Brown and Joe Espada, they're not trading anybody. They're not thinking about rebuilding. Their jobs are on the line. The only way they are going to look to the future is if Jim Crane directs them and says, absolutely, you have to go do this, make this move, or I'm going to fire you. They are going to do everything they can to hold out hope that they're going to turn things around because their jobs are on the line. They're not trade. Because I was running through scenarios in my mind. I was like, well, in theory, Christian Walker's trade value probably hasn't been higher since he was with the Astros. And this was last week before he went into this slump. But, you know, I was like, you know, in theory, you could put Paredes over at first base. You could put Bryce Matthews at third. Maybe you get something for Christian Walker. But then I was like, they're not going to do that. They're not going to take a good player off this roster in any way. They're looking out for themselves. And that's something that Jim Crane's going to have to really think long and hard about is, are these guys really about the best interest of the longevity of the organization? No, they're going to try and keep their jobs, which means they're going to be all in for this year. And they're just going to keep running it out there until they get replaced, quite frankly.
It's a strong point. Let me slightly defend Dana Brown, Mauricio Dubon. That was a pure salary dump.
Yep.
They know Nick Allen. They could run a promotion this week. Paper bag night. at Daikin Park and you pick five fans to see if Nick Allen can hit his way out of that paper bag and the fan can win a prize. His whole profile is he makes Mauricio Dubon look like peak Cal Ripken Jr. or Robin Yount or something. Dubon's off to a nice start in Atlanta. He's flattened out. He's playing much better ball than he ever did with the Astros offensively. Water tends to find its level over the full season. Or maybe they just have better hitting coaches over there. Dubon's certainly walking more than he ever did as an Astro.
The problem is looking at trade scenarios. Based on the contracts, you're not going to get anything of any real value back for these guys because they're at or about market rate. For a Hader, you're just basically unloading. So a lot of this would be salary relief for a team, which would help them for sure, but that doesn't really help the long-term success of this team to give them short-term debt relief. The only star on this team that you could trade and really truly bring in the equity to rebuild would be Yordan. If you're not talking about Yordan, you're not really talking about retooling this team. And quite frankly, I don't want them to move on from Yordan because you figure AL is weak. You could see a scenario which Astros get hot. At least they are in contention. You have one of the best young hitters. Whereas if Yordan's off this team, who cares? In the short term, Houston's going to host Seattle for four ahead of the three-game set with the Rangers. Josh and I talked about this possibly being make or break for Joe Espada. Charlie, is this put up or shut up time for the Astros?
It would be fun to say so, but if they go 3-4 or 4-3, it's just another week off the calendar. Now, they go 3-1 against Seattle and then take 2 out of 3 over Texas. Right, whatever the A's do this week, the Astros will probably have gained ground on the lead. Obviously, they would have on both the Mariners and the Rangers. Now, if they have a 1-6 week, then maybe Jim Crane starts feeling for the ripcord. You have an embarrassing homestand and you're sinking to where you're not only 7-8 games behind the A's, but also 5-6 games behind the Mariners and or Rangers, where, you know, not quite tombstone territory, but I mean, you're 16-25 going into the week. You have a 2-5 homestand. You're 18-30 and several games behind several teams. But if it's just a middling week, it doesn't move the needle toward catastrophe or here come the Astros.
Yeah, I think it would have to be an emotional decision from Jim Crane. Just the optics are so bad where, yeah, they get swept or they only win a game or two, which in the clubhouse, I'm sure they're just saying, just tread water. We're going to get Jeremy Pena back and we're going to get Hunter Brown back and then we can turn things around. And maybe that's the case because they're in a bad division. But I know FanGraphs has them at just a little over 15% chance to make the playoffs right now. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm sure they're clinging to hope that we're going to get some guys back and we'll start playing better baseball. And the rotation has started pitching a little bit better. And if you get Hader back too, and Abreu's, he's not as bad as he was earlier in the year. So there are things that you could kind of point to that they could turn things around. But obviously it's a big series because these are divisional opponents and you can't afford to lose any more ground right now.
And Tatsuya Imai rejoins the rotation on Tuesday. Go.
It's a windfall. What are we even talking about? But that is kind of the thing of this tricky gray area purgatory that they live in the AL and in the AL West specifically, which is you don't feel as a team like you're close, but it's right there. And also you look within the team. We've talked about there's elements of a fairly decent starting rotation on this team. Once you get Hunter Brown back, Burrows, Lambert's been, Arrighetti's been good. We'll see about Imai. AJ Blueball has taken some positive steps in his season. I think he's only given up runs in 3 of his last 11 outings. Tang's been good. There are some good elements to this team. It's just really tough. So is it a blessing or a curse, do you think, that they're in this situation where you know they're not necessarily a good team, but also they're not out of it?
I don't think it's either at this point in the season. I will say this, if it's just not going to happen for the 2026 Astros, while it will be no fun to endure, go 0-7 this week, 1-6 this week, and just accept the reality. The sooner you get on with, okay, we really need to explore the market and do it as secretively as you like, but that would include Yordan Alvarez, the Juan Soto template with the Washington Nationals versus the way the Angels handled Shohei Ohtani and basically got nothing for him. Now, Alvarez is under contract for two more seasons with the Astros, so the clock isn't ticking with great urgency on this. I'll just add that, you know, you can enjoy memories of the past. Nostalgia is fun. But if internally they're thinking, what, me worry? Because last 2 years ago, they were 12-24 and roared from behind to win. Go compare that roster to this roster and think there'd be reasonable expectation of same this season. Come on.
And that's what I was about to say. Dana Brown keeps bringing that up, like, oh, we've gotten off to bad starts before and turned things around. And that's not a good thing that you keep getting off to all these bad starts. And it is nice that you managed to overcome that in the past. But we just have to say that with McCullers, he's just been so poor, guys. I know he's had a couple decent starts, but how can you just keep running him out there? But they don't have anybody else. Dana Brown even brought that up. He kind of said it without saying it. It's like, we need starting pitchers, and Lance has it in him. He's done it in the past, and we hope he turns it around. But I mean, he's a guy that throws about 90 miles an hour now. That's just kind of who he is. And when he's not hitting his spots, he gets slapped all over the yard, and he still walks way too many guys. And so that's one thing. If they could just continue to bring the walks down, that would help.
It's interesting. You know, we're talking about the pitching shortage for Houston. It's something that's being felt league-wide, going back to that article from Nightingale. From his notes in that article, baseball executives cringe at the thought of expansion, bringing 26 more pitchers in the game when there already is a massive shortage. The pitching shortage is so bad, the teams have already canceled games in the Arizona Complex League because of the dearth in pitching. The Dodgers rookie team walked 22 batters in a recent game that lasted more than 4 hours. So it's not just Houston. Obviously, Houston, we're feeling it acutely, but we're seeing really the limits of pitching depth being pushed right now. Final thoughts before out the door.
Two seasons ago, the Chicago White Sox lost 121 games. They start the week with a better record than the Astros. They also start the week with a better record than the Seattle Mariners. So it's not like the Astros are alone on awful island at still just the one quarter mark of the season. Cal Raleigh rolled into Houston 0 for his last 32. The Devil's collecting from Cal on his 60 home run the season a year ago, methinks. The Astros won't have Arrigetti, the closest thing they have to a sure thing in their rotation, just the way it lines up. He won't face the Mariners. We talked about Imai on Tuesday. A 4-3 homestand, nothing really good about that, but at least it would stabilize, and a winning week at home against AL West opponents would not leave them at all dead and buried.
I think to your point about the pitching, Brandon, we've seen so many bullpen games already. I don't remember this many bullpen games since, and it's only May. So they need starters, man, guys that can produce. And I'm tired of seeing running the bullpen guys out there and also having to watch our position players come in and throw because they're getting blown out. I'm tired of seeing that too. And that's what the Astros are known for. It's just that Astros car wash thing with pitching. It's funny how it's only really working with a couple guys, like with Lambert. You know, he's kind of a standout. But a lot of these other guys, whether it's Colton Gordon or whoever, Jason Alexander, that magic sauce is not really there anymore.
One last number as the Astros headed into the Seattle series. Their pitching staff is on pace to walk 830 batters this season. The most the Astros pitching staff has ever walked in a season, 679. So they're on pace to blow that away by more than 150. That 1975 Astros team finished 65-97.
Well, we'll see how this season ends up.
I'll take the over.
I hope so. Good Lord.
On when, I mean.
One last reminder. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like the video. And if you listen on podcast apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon Sands. So long. We're going to talk to you later in the week. And as always, go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Quality proteins aren't just for special occasions. With Omaha Steaks, you get mouth-watering proteins delivered right to your door, individually packaged and portioned, so a great dinner is just minutes away. From Taco Tuesday to a weekend feast, taste the Omaha Steaks difference. Start getting flavorful proteins delivered today. Visit omahasteaks.com and get $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.